E1, number 25A.
All right. So we can now say state this law of interdependence. You can make a new page and write it down. We have now the law of interdependence. See, of the word, the law, interdependence of the word, really, in absolute Christian science and Christian science. That's how we can write it. It's the word, my abbreviation is W, and on the lower line you indicate what kind of word, namely the word in absolute Christian science related to, with that line, with that stroke there, to Christian science. If I see that, I know it, exactly what it is here, the law of the word of absolute Christian science and Christian science. And how could I state it? Well, we see that we could perhaps draw it like this, that we really have life, truth and love as one. Really, life, truth as one, you see. Doing what? Impelling, really, mind. Impelling mind. And then afterwards, impelling spirit. And then impelling soul. Then impelling principle. And then impelling life. And then impelling truth. And then impelling love. So this is a graphical representation of that law, formulated in words. You could say the law in law of interdependence of the word in absolute Christian science. And Christian science says what? In terms, you could state it and say, life, truth, and love impels, I think we should say impels as a singular, because it's one unit, impels the creative order of mind to love. I think if you state it that way, you have a good summary of this diagram here, and showing what? We can see now that if we take life, truth and love, impelling mind, that this does to mind something. Namely what? Namely that it has a trifold, can you say a trifold, a threefold? A threefold impact on mind. Namely life has an impact, truth has an impact, and love has an impact on mind. So perhaps we can draw it in three different arrows again, namely life would say what? Life impels, you're right, impels with one L, yeah, impels mind to manifest itself, impels mind, truth. The second one does to mind what? It says, gives true impulsion, a true impulsion to life. To mind. And love would say to mind that love impels mind in all its perfection. Love impels in perfection. Or impels perfect mind. You can put it that way. Can you see the very first attempt of this law? You can see how when we really understand our categories, that you could write a whole book on this law without ever repeating yourself. This would be the first attempt to show really what, namely, that instead of just saying God is mind, you see, as we used to do when we only take in one level and say God is mind, here we say something more. We have the interdependence and say life, truth and love impel mind. We have not just a statement God is mind. Now we have that which says what makes mind manifest itself. That which makes mind manifest itself is life, and so life impels mind to manifest itself. Truth says to that very same thing, says, and truth impels mind, impels mind to manifest itself in a right way, in a true way. It's a true impulsion. So that I can be quite sure that that impulsion of mind is true, is right. And love would say to it, love impels mind to manifest itself in a perfect way, and in all its perfection. So I get the threefold presentation of mind manifesting itself. I have the impulsion of life which says it makes mind manifest itself. Truth says it makes that mind to manifest itself in a true way. And love says to that mind it makes mind manifest itself in a perfect way. And therefore we have a feeling that all is being done by the triune person, life, truth, and love. And entertaining such a consciousness very systematically and educating oneself in that consciousness, little by little our consciousness is being structured into this law. So I don't have the feeling anymore just that mind manifests itself. We would have under the synonymous term mind, we would say mind manifests itself. Here, I would ask, but what makes mind manifest itself? And so it says, the essential nature of being, namely the principle of being, which is life, truth and love, makes mind manifest itself, namely through life to impel it, through truth to give a true impulsion, through love to give a perfect impulsion. And you can just sit back and say, that's fine, and everything is okay, and everything is complete and wonderful. It takes the burden of metaphysics away and gives one that grace of science. And actually the same thing would be true if we go to spirit and look at spirit. And there again you would perhaps see that we say, well, spirit unfolds. But what we have been saying all the way along and saying that spirit unfolds, see, there is not enough space here, but you can put it down in your own way or take a new page. Again, spirit with those three arrows. One of the first is life, the second truth, the third love. What you can see here, see, if we take spirit, and up to now we said spirit unfolds. That's a beautiful sense because each one of us likes unfoldment. That's something everyone likes. So because we like unfoldment, we say, where do I get unfoldment? And so Christian Science says, spirit unfolds. And we say, that's wonderful. Not I unfold, but spirit unfolds. And then after a while you think, yes, how does spirit unfold? What makes spirit to unfold? Somehow you always get to that sense. What is the driving force behind it? What is the impelling force behind it? And so your thought couples together with your hitch your wagon to absolute Christian Science, to truth, life and love, and say, let life, truth and love do it. Huh? I always have a feeling I'm just a carriage in a train, and if I don't have a locomotive, I never get anywhere. I can be a beautiful carriage, all complete and perfect, but if I have not a locomotive to pull me somewhere, I never get anywhere. I must have somewhere a terrific, powerful, driving force. So hitch your wagon to the locomotive, to life, truth and love. Then you feel, oh, ho, 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 this is terrific. There is in being life. In being is life, the impulsion of life. That's the nature of being. I know that life goes on and on and on and on. So life says to spirit, I, life, impel spirit to unfold. So you get motion, movement into spirit through the impact of life. And truth says to that impulsion of life, and I impel a right unfoldment of spirit, so that within me I can be quite sure that only that will unfold which is right and true, nothing else. And love comes to it and says, and I impel the unfoldment in all its perfection, so that I have a perfect unfoldment. Can you see these three? Naturally, I could go on and now take over and be an inspirational talker, and have an inspirational meeting for half an hour and just talk my head off about this law and just go through the various synonymous terms and ideas. But that I don't want to do. I would like you to give the method. Because afterwards you have to go home, you are alone with yourself, and you like to be alone with your own being, with the reality of things, and there you have to know your method. So I teach you method. Can you see what I have been doing? I've taken here in spirit that life, truth and love impels spirit. And therefore, I have taken one idea of spirit, namely unfoldment, and show it in the three ways of that impulsion of life, truth and love. But I could have taken another term than unfoldment. I could have taken Another idea, applying to spirit, like birth. You see, you can take, so to say, any idea of spirit there and see it to be impelled by life, truth, and love. So you could have taken birth, or would you like something else? Birth, you see? Spirit gives birth. Yes, spirit gives birth. What do you do when you say spirit gives birth? Huh? You're just saying something. Spirit gives birth. What does it mean, spirit gives birth? Huh? Somehow there is only a statement here, not a terrific impelling law which we state. But if we put it back into absolute Christian Science, I begin to see, it's that one eternal, compelling, impelling, pushing, driving, urging life that out of that infinite well of life constantly wants to push forth, to bring forth something new. So it's a life impulsion that comes to spirit and says, I impel every second, every split second of being a new birth. That birth goes on every split second because of life, not because of spirit. Spirit brings forth birth, but that which makes it happens constantly, at every moment, every new second, is life. So I get the sense that life impels constantly the birth of a new idea, idea of spirit. That truth constantly impels the true form of that birth. And that love constantly impels the perfect form of that birth. The harmonious, perfect form of that birth. There will be no discord in that birth, because love is behind it. And right from the beginning, the whole setup, the perfect matrix of love is right there to operate in its perfection as birth. You can use it for a baby, but don't use it always for babies. Many of you are, anyway, too old for that. So let's see it for the birth of the new idea, whatever the new idea is. We do not know what the new idea is. We only know that life impels the birth of the new idea. We may not know what it is and do not need to know what it is. The main thing is that we know that the birth goes on and that truth will give to that new birth the true form, and that love will give to that true form everything it needs. It's complete. So, can you hear the music? You really get classical music here, in these laws. They are pure, simple. It's like listening to Bach. It's just all system, the harmony of music. Just in its straightforward, systematic way. And you just go through it and see this law. Now we take one of soul. What would you like to take in soul? Your mission, huh? Let's have your mission, huh? You all like to have a mission, huh? Your identity, huh? You must have a definite mission, a definite life purpose, huh? You must be the representative of God, of soul, therefore you must have a mission. Yes, everybody would like to have a mission, doesn't know what his mission is. And it is very good that he doesn't know humanly what his mission is, because his divine mission will be anyway something different than what he is thinking out in his human frame of reference, what his system is. Thank God we do not know. Thank God we know the law governing our true mission. And so we just can sit back in all placitude. Can you say placitude? No? In a placid way? Yes? Okay. Now let's have a placid way. See, just in a contemplating way. And just listen to the music of being. It has nothing to do with us as a human being. That wonderful sense that you know there is in being the nature of soul, which says, I have a definite mission. Everything within me is definite, is identified. It's changeless, sinless. And therefore we feel that we have a great mission. Defined mission. Unique mission. But then we say, I don't know how to bring this mission about. Because we don't have life. Then something in us says, and I don't know what is the form of this mission, because we don't see it as truth. And then something in us says wrongly, and I don't know if I will achieve it, because I haven't put it into love. So can you see that just to see that soul has its representative, its representative, that soul gives definite mission, doesn't really cover all the mortal suggestions. But if I put that soul back into life, truth and love in absolute Christian Science, then I am consciously aware and I entertain that beautiful resonant music and hum in being that says, life impels my true mission of soul. Truth gives to that mission the true form, a whole form, a right form, a form that has standard. And love says to that, and I love, give to that mission of soul all that it needs, because I'm perfect, I'm complete, I'm holy, and gives therefore to every mission a holy purpose, a holy aim, a perfect aim. And therefore I feel, you see, that life, truth and love impel the manifestation of soul as a perfect, identified mission of man. And so I just stay within that consciousness and listen to it, and then it begins to operate. Because life, truth and love are constantly, spontaneously operating. Would you like to take something in soul? In principle? What would you like to take in principle? Apparently nothing, huh?
Why not government?
Government. Yes. You like government, huh? After, you mean after Nixon's talk, you like government?
Our true government.
Our true government, yes? Yes? Huh? Because in principle and in the fourth day of creation, you see, you have the right government. And the fourth day of creation shows very nicely the hierarchical government of the sun and the moon and the star and the earth, and it's one great hierarchy of government, indicating that the government of principle is constituted of a terrific, harmonious hierarchy and interplay of hierarchical levels. And so we all would see a right government in the world, in the nation, in the business, in the family, in the body. Everywhere we would like to see government, because we believe that if there is one principle with its infinite ideas, that this one principle will govern harmoniously, because it's only one principle and not many principles. The moment we have one principle, we have harmony in government. So, if I say that principle governs everything harmoniously, I say, oh well, that's fine, huh? But who is going to put that harmonious government into operation? Am I going to put it into operation? Is some person going to put it into operation? Be it the president of a nation, be it the president of a business, be it the president of a family. Is he going to put it into operation? I would say, no, 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 no. They are all human and they can do their best, but it's still human and it's still limited, and no one person is principle. For every person must be put under the government of principle. But that which is going to make principle to operate as government is really that I see that there is life, truth and love operating as principle. And so I can see, yes, out of that one life which governs everything, comes out life, truth and love impelling the divine principle to govern and not people to govern. So that life says, I, life, impel that principle and not people are governing. And truth says to that government, I, truth, impel principle to govern in a righteous way, in a true way, in a way that it will establish the truth and destroy the error. And love says to that principle, I am love. I want to govern perfectly. I want to bring out perfect government. I'm not letting go until only perfect government is established. And so love comes to principle and says, I give to that impulsion of life and truth a perfect plan, a perfect design, how to bring out perfect government. And so I have taken it away from people, from organizations, from time. I have put it right back into life, truth and love as the impelling force of principle.